I think at the time was sort of technologically necessary, but has not in all hip hop these days, but in a lot of hip hop has sort of come back that there's some stuff that is very maximalist, that is like, well, how many sounds can I put in here? How big can I make it sound? But there's a lot of sort of stripped back stuff as well. And I mean, like, right now the lo-fi hip hop thing is like huge, right? And there's some direct lines between the two of them, I think.
For sure. I think it's almost deceptively minimal, because we were talking about just how much work it took to get these things done, how much money it would take to, you know, organize people and get them to work on a song or an album like this. So, yeah, it's when you put so much effort into something and you make it look effortless. That was what they were on.
I like the deceptively minimal, because, you know, I think if we were to talk to the two of them the year it released, and we're like, wow, this is a really minimal beat, they'd be like, are you kidding me? You know how much time that took? That's everything we could do, would put in there, is in there, right?
They wouldn't take offense.
Groove is the catchy part of the sound. They're usually using the jazzy groove beats, and that makes the catchy, and people find something more related, the other experience that they listened before, and that makes it more classic, the song.
Sampling definitely isn't easy. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to think that an artist could just find a song, cut out a section of it, and I mean, if you've listened to Dilla and how he uses samples, or even Kanye, or you hear Eric B, right, you know it's not that straightforward. You have to actually find the right loops and loop them properly and things like that. So yeah, it's very complex, and I definitely appreciate the craftsmanship that went into it.
Yeah, on face value, the idea of sampling, of taking, you know, something someone else made and then turning it into something new, it sounds maybe, well, on its surface, I was going to say creatively bankrupt, but that's like way too strong a term, even for the hypothetical argument I'm making.
Derivative?
Yeah, well, in a way it is, and the way we talk about like copyright and derivative works and like that's in the language, but. Yeah, if you've spent even a little bit of time like trying to do that, it takes both the ear to recognize the right part, the right thing to sample, but then knowing how to fit it into or build something around that.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole fact that I don't know if either of you has seen the documentary Everything Is a Remix. I recommend it. It's about an hour long. I think it's on YouTube. Given the nature of the content, I believe they've made it widely available. The thesis is in the title, that everything is a remix, that art is inherently, music inherently in itself, all you're doing is taking the same basic concepts, the same things, and repeating them and iterating them and putting your own spin on them. And so that saying that something is not, doesn't have value because it's not a wholly original composition, you're eliminating, you know, 99% of all music ever. Right? Right?
Go back to listen to Sumerian jams.
Exactly.
It's like, there was that slow suit recently with Ed Sheeran and Marvin Gaye's.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous to me, because their main argument was that he stole a certain chord progression that gave his song a similar feel. That was the concept. The feel was what they were fighting about. I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah, the whole point of music is to figure out a way to evoke the same similar set of feelings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, music is always inspired by the music that came before it, either in the same genre or different genres, right? Part of the creativity of music is taking maybe a chord progression or, you know, certain sensibilities that are more conventionally seen in one certain genre and applying it to another genre.
Totally.
So, you look at Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. He mixed, you know, hip-hop, jazz. You know, I think there were some gospel elements in there as well.
Yeah.
There was spoken word. All these things just mashed together to create, you know, a body of work like that. And, you know, who's going to say that it wasn't creative, or that it wasn't, or that it's too derivative? Like, that doesn't even compute in a discussion of an album like that. So, yeah, sampling is definitely, it's an important part of music. And, yeah. Just makes sense.
Yeah. I'm glad we agree.
Yeah.
maybe it would be more interesting if we didn't. You know, we could have a real argument about it.
Real heated.
No. Merritt, we're going to get to a track that you suggested as well, but I think there's a connection here because the artist you want to play is Aphex Twin.
Yes.
And Aphex Twin, electronic musician, DJ,
pioneer
for sure, and has, you know, some of his work, a lot of his work is sample-based. A lot of it is, you know, based in, like, generative synthesis or, you know, like, quote-unquote, like, original composition. What is it that draws or drew you to Aphex Twin?
Well, the emotion, he's using the classical piano's emotions are so good. Also, he has the used the samples, especially drum rolls, very chopped and very destructive way, which is it's super original by the time. And he also influenced the like whole two generation for hip hop and also electronic music. That's the point. And when I listen new modern music, I can always see Aphex Twin motif in the new genres. And that's the main point, actually. I see him as it's very important a person, music wisely, and if you listen to one of his albums, you can it's like a taking roller coaster. He takes you in a different emotion in every track, and entire album you feel like, oh, I was in an adventure, and that's the feeling that I like to be into it, actually. And That's the got me mostly.
One of the do you know Aphex Twin? Are you familiar?
I am familiar with Aphex. Well, maybe not familiar, but I'm aware of Aphex Twin.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one of his songs this morning. I don't remember what it was called.
Cool.
But I heard it before. I think it's a pretty popular song, but it's it's really good.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear another one. I also one of the things about you're talking about Aphex Twin's influence electronically, but also in hip-hop. Yeah. And one of the things I think that has really... one of the ways that hip-hop has grown and developed over the last couple of decades is just in terms of overall sound design, moving beyond the more simplistic, like, sample and drum machine aesthetic like we sort of heard, to really being focused on the ambient sound that is behind, that sort of fills out the rest of the track.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, like, I mean, Aphex Twin's not the only ambient electronica artist out there, but
I will say Moby also is influential at that point.
Yeah,
but I think that's something that you find, you know, in, like, I don't know, like, if we're going really popular, like Travis Scott, right? Like, the depth of the sound design, where it's not just like that there's, you know, a sample and some instruments and some drums and vocals, but there's this whole texture and atmosphere going on.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, as a radio person who's interested in the way things sound and how we can construct spaces and build these feelings beyond necessarily the melody and harmony and rhythm of a song, very interesting to me.
Yeah,
that's the point, actually. What I realized that we talk about movies, and that's the main point that I get myself into sound design between Travis Scott and movie example. Actually, Travis Scott also and new producers are creating the atmosphere, the feeling, the moment into the their production as well, like in movies, like in composers.
Well, I mean, we just talked about To Pimp a Butterfly, and there's all sorts of stuff in that is, you know, you mentioned jazz and gospel and all that, but even just the way that it's put together, you've got you know, you've got like sort of different scenes set up with sound effects in the background, and just that whole the whole
environment
picture, I guess. And I mean, Kendrick Lamar's been very open about thinking about his albums as sort of narrative devices, as like Good Kid, Mad City is very explicitly set up like a movie, right? And I think, it's just very interesting.
Yeah, the album's definitely more cohesive because of it, for sure.
Okay, well, let's get into a track called The by Aphex Twin, and we'll be back in a little bit. This is a long one. Enjoy. Here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you. Was nice. Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That was The THA by Aphex Twin from selected ambient works 85 to 92, an all-time classic and a seminal work in ambient electronic music. I'm here in studio with Mert and Daniel. Mert, you picked that song, so you know a lot about it. Daniel, did you have any thoughts
about the song?
Yeah.
It's like we were talking about the Dreamscape sound.
Yeah,
and how rich songs nowadays, especially like hip hop songs, how they're including Dreamscape sensibilities to them. And Aphex Twin seems like he would have been like an influence.
Yeah, for sure.
On that, for sure. So. When I listen to these kinds of songs from like long ago, I kind of do it with reference.
Yeah,
And I just pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's easy to get lost in it, but also, mm-hmm. good to appreciate the classics.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
That's right.
Yeah. I wanted to talk really briefly. One of the things, Mert, you were saying as we got into the studio is that you just got your permanent residency.
Oh, yeah.
So, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm so happy about it.
Yeah, and you, Daniel, are also a newcomer to the country. I don't know. Do you guys, is there anything about that experience that stands out to you, or is there anything about the PR process that really stuck out to you, Mert? Or?
It was a really long process for me. It took like 2 years. Normally it takes 6 months, but because of the COVID pandemic and the
big backlog,
big backlog, and everything just gets slowed down. And at the end of the day, people are looking your case, your folders, and everything, and that needs a lot of manpower to figure out the cases. And I appreciate it for the CRA for doing this job. Actually, a lot of people working so many times to figure out the work, and it was a long process. But I'm glad they figured it out, and I feel so relaxed. Feel relief about it.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, thank you.
About the PR, I mean, I'm sure it's a complicated process.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get it. They don't want just anyone living here, but it is still complicated.
Yeah.
It takes time. It's definitely something I'm working towards because I do like living here. I do like working here. It's an industrial center, an industrial capital for many industries. So, yeah, the PR.
Well, and I think if you are hoping to go back to Nigeria and work in the film industry there, spending some time in Vancouver is probably not the worst place to pick up some skills and connections and
that's
all
right,
that.
That's right.
For sure. It'll be a good thing on the CV.
It's a great hub for the movies and video games, so pretty much resource and networks. You can do it in here. That's a great opportunity for us.
I'm also quite interested in video games, but... As far as I know, there's basically no video game industry in Nigeria. So Canada has a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's the opportunity, right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Why not? There's always a fresh start.
Yeah. Opportunity.
Well, I think also, it's very easy to think about video games and film as two sort of... two discrete industries, right? Or even two side-by-side industries. But when you think about like the screenwriting and the voice acting and even you get into computer animation and special effects and all that, there is a lot of crossover. And, you wonder, it's very possible for someone to develop a game with a small team or even by themselves, but then maybe they need those extra resources to get to the next level or to take their game, to add voice acting, to add a strong narrative, to add this kind of thing. So those are, that kind of thing could evolve alongside a growing film industry.
For sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Because a video game is maybe not just a video game, but any entrance into any medium, it's kind of like a perfect storm. It needs to be a perfect storm.
Totally.
It needs to have kind of the best in basically every aspect or as many aspects as possible so that the parts that aren't that good can be ignored.
Yeah.
And it needs to be earnest. It needs to be as good as it can be. And that can always be done by one person or a small team.
Yeah.
But the effort, the dedication that takes to what's the word, mobilize a group of people towards something like that is, yeah, it's not to be taken for granted, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay, guys. Well, we're right up against the end of the hour, and I wanna end the show with a little bit of music. So I'm gonna thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Of course, you're welcome back any time, obviously. And is there anything you wanna say? Any final thoughts on anything we've touched on today?
Well, thank you for today. That was my first experience. Definitely not gonna be. Last one?
Yeah.
Mm. I'll be here. I'll be around.
Cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed the discussions. I like talking about cinema, music, just in any context. Same even here. Artists I don't know about. I like knowing about, I like finding out about new forms of media and just new artists. And yeah, glad to be here.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks once again. Thank you out there for listening and hanging out with us this hour. We are going to end with another track by a local artist. This is, they're sort of local. They're technically from Victoria, but it's only a boat ride away. We'll call it local. This is Bridal Party from their record Cool Down. It's another title track. This one is called, Cool Down. We'll see you next week. Democracy Now! Is next. Bye.
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 The National Greening Program, run by Tree Canada, is dedicated to planting seedling trees across Canada in BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They prioritize planting on Indigenous and public lands and planting areas of natural and human-caused disturbance. The trees they plant help filter the air and water and sequester carbon, among other positive impacts. To learn more or get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even